Ramsey TV.
From Studio One of the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, this is Martin Zender. They tried to give me Studio Two down the hall. Some of them wanted me to have Studio Three. I said, no way. I'm going Studio One. I'm going hard or I'm going home. This truth is too important. So here I am in Studio One, happy to be with you on the launch of a new show called MZTV. All the other shows, the old series, I hate to call it old, that is Return to Zender, because the truths that we talked about there, that I talked about from my car with my back behind a wall, other times I was in the cemetery, wherever the inspiration struck, I turned on my phone and we were off to the races. Great stuff. It's just as applicable today as it was when Paul uttered it, because these are not my words. These are not my truths. Nobody knows all truth. Only God knows all truth. But God has revealed truth to us through the Apostle Paul. And that's what I'm heralding. This truth will be just as applicable 100 years from now as it is now. And just as applicable now as it was 2,000 years from now. It's timeless. God has not left us alone to fend for ourselves, to figure things out, because everybody would have their own idea about things. Everybody would just be drifting. No one would have a lighthouse. No one would have an anchor. God has made sure that he gave us his word, and he inspired human beings. And of course, it takes faith to believe that. I understand that. And there are mockers. There are people who say that that's ridiculous. Well, you know, I can't help those people. The scripture has many internal evidences that it's inspired. I'm not going to get into that now, but God has revealed himself in words that people can understand. This is not a mystery. God is not covered in haze and smoke and unknowable. He's not unknowable. In fact, we remember when Paul was on Mars Hill giving his testimony to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. He kind of mocked them. He says, you have many memorials here, many statues, many plaques. You're a very religious people, and I notice you have a statue to the unknown God, or the unknowable God. I think that's the better translation. Paul says, this God that you worship ignorantly, I declare to you this God, because it delights him to make himself known. And he has made himself known most recently in a gospel called the Gospel of the Uncircumcision. It's the gospel of the transcendent grace of God given us by the Apostle Paul, who was given it by the glorified Christ. I am in the midst of detailing 31 differences between the Gospel of the Uncircumcision and the Gospel of the Circumcision. For review, for those of you who have never heard this, there are not four Gospels in the New Testament, so-called Greek scriptures. There are four accounts of the same Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all writing the same Gospel, the Gospel God gave to Abraham concerning the reconciliation of the earth and the earth's inhabitants to God. This Gospel was given to Abraham, passed on to Peter. Jesus Christ came to earth to confirm it, Romans 15:8. When he came to earth, he was in his Jew suit. He limited himself to Israel, and anyone looking for a universal Gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will not find it. And many people try to do that. They're trying to ring some kind of new grace. They're trying to ring a universal message, ring, as like in a chamois, that kind of ring. It's like they're going to squeeze Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're squeezing an orange, hoping to get apple juice. Not going to happen. But when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he no longer was in his Jew suit, and now he was free to tell another person what the cross accomplished, not only for all humanity, but for the entire universe. This was the Apostle Paul. I write about him in a book called The First Idiot in Heaven. I call him an idiot here because he basically was. When he was called, he was a murderer. He was an enemy of God. He hated the followers of Christ. And what a great person to call if you're going to demonstrate transcendent grace. If you have grace in your heart that you've never revealed before, and you're going to pick a spokesman, you're going to pick a representative of that grace, the best thing to do is to use an object lesson. So Paul, who was at the time Saul, became an object lesson of the grace of God. He was the poster boy of grace. So it's the perfect choice. That this should make you feel pretty good. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm not saying I'm an idiot. But it should make you pretty good to know that God did his best. God gave everything to this man, everything. He gave him a message that is waiting to happen. The message is true. Promises made. And God, the God who makes promises, will keep promises. The last time we were together, I was talking about difference number 5. For review, you can go back to Return to Zender. That's the show I did. By the way, all 151 shows will be linked to. Underneath this screen, you will find a link to a playlist of all 151 shows. That truth is timeless. Yes, it's being propounded upon by a guy in a car, but don't let that trip you up. Listen to what that guy has to say, because that guy is quoting the words of Paul, the latest and greatest of God's apostles. He gives the latest, greatest revelation that we have. It's like you need to constantly ask yourself, what has God done lately? What has he said lately? Because there are things that he said early on concerning the law. He told Noah to build an ark. Does that mean we're supposed to build an ark today? These people who go to, say, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and they're trying to recreate, reconstruct the Acts ecclesia. That was something God did then. Peter's exhortation in Acts 2:38 was to people who had just crucified their own Messiah. He's telling them to repent and be baptized. Is repentance and baptized required today for salvation? It is not. Any more than taking your little lamb to Jerusalem is required for salvation. There was a day when it was required. In Paul's gospel, there's no requirement. It's completely grace. God saves idiots. God saves unbelievers. God never saved a believer in his life. Jesus never saved a believer. He saves unbelievers. He saves unworthy people. He saves the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. When I left off, we were talking about the different bodies that the saints will have. There are bodies, Paul says, terrestrial, and bodies celestial. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Jewish saints, people like Peter, James, John, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, these folks are going to raise from the dead at the end of this age, this eon, and they're going to have glorified bodies. But their bodies will be suited to the terrestrial sphere. They will be bodies like the body Jesus had when he appeared to his disciples, walked through the wall in the upper room, showed them his hands and feet. Actually, the nail went into his wrist, and Thomas wouldn't believe the testimony of his friends. I got to see this to believe it. Jesus came into the room. They thought it was a ghost. Jesus said, can you handle a ghost? Does a ghost eat fish? And he proceeded to eat fish in front of them, and they marveled. Jesus had a body. It was a recognizable body. It had hands, legs, feet, a head, eyes, nose, a mouth. But it was unable to die any longer. That's great. That's good. But the body that we're going to have as members of the body of Christ, yes, I'm making a distinction between the celestial and the terrestrial. Let's back up a second and review. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. The heavens and the earth, two different spheres of operation. Colossians 1:16 through 20 says that it is the goal of God through Christ to reconcile both the heavens and the earth to himself. And he does that through Christ. That's as simple as you can get. That's as simple as I can put it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, God is going to reconcile to himself both the heavens and the earth. The agent for both of these operations is Jesus Christ. However, Jesus Christ, if I can put it this way, has a bit of a dual personality in that he came to earth as a Jewish man. And he came, as Paul says in Romans 15:8, to confirm the patriarchal promises, that is, the promises God made to Abraham. If you are looking for a universal gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, again, not going to happen. You might as well be trying to wring apple juice out of an orange. You're not going to get it there, because that's the terrestrial Christ. It's interesting, though, too, in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and then you kind of forget about the heavens. Because in Genesis 10, I think it is, he calls Abraham, and so Abraham becomes the father of a tribe of people called Israelites, who God is going to use as a priesthood nation to bring the earth back to himself. This is going to happen during the 1,000 years that is upcoming. But he doesn't say anything about the heavens. And I don't know if you know this, folks, but the heavens are just as big of a mess as the earth. There are celestial beings in the heavens. Not talking about space aliens. Martin, is there life on other planets? You gotta tell us, Martin. Of course there is. I mean, but not maybe Mars or Venus or Jupiter. Think bigger. Way out there, there are celestial beings. Not dead humans. Spiritual beings who have been around for a long, long time. And there is evil in that realm, just as there's evil on the earth. God is going to reconcile those beings to himself. But before he can reconcile anything, what does he have to do? He has to estrange it first. He does this for the good of all the creatures. He wants everything, and he's going to get this. Everything comes back to him, loving him, wanting to be with him, just thrilled to death to be in his presence. But the only way that feeling can happen is if these creatures are first estranged, if they first go through this terrible period of turmoil, death, and destruction, because that primes them then to hear, to appreciate the presence of God. It's all necessary. I can lock this down in one verse, Romans 11:32, God locks up all together in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. That's the order of things, locks them all up in stubbornness first, then has mercy. He does this not only with the inhabitants of earth, but with the inhabitants of heaven as well. And we are distinguishing things on this show, and I always will distinguish things, specifically distinguishing the heavens from the earth. I'm distinguishing the gospel of the circumcision from the gospel of the uncircumcision, Galatians 2, verse 7. And in the book I've written called The First Idiot in Heaven, I highly recommend you go to my website, martinzender.com, and order it. I highlight 31 differences between these two gospels. 31 differences. After you're done seeing these, you won't be able to deny it. Like, yeah, there's something here. Why didn't we ever see this before? It's been in there, but it's been obscured by tradition. We're going to blow up tradition here from Studio One, because that's what I do.